Welcome to the No Lux Left Behind podcast, the world's first podcast dedicated solely to unboxing the allure of luxury handbags and the resale market.
We're Monica and Erica, luxury consignment entrepreneurs with over a decade of experience. Whether you're a shopper, a seller, or listening for the laughs, you'll always get unfiltered knowledge here. Let's get started. We're talking about how to part with your handbags.
Listen, it's hard. It's hard.
It can be hard. For some people, it's harder than others.
Yeah, I know it can be hard. For me personally, this is Erica speaking, it's not hard.
Yeah.
I have a very, I keep my collection high and tight. And that's how I think everyone should keep it. But hey, some people are collectors and they want to have like walk into their closet and see their collection, have all these beautiful things. But for those of you who are like, I have things in my closet that I don't use. Yeah. This one's for you.
I think I kind of want to
shout out to those people.
Yes. So let's start with, how do you know when it's time to part with your handbag?
Okay. How do you know? I feel like there's so many like kind of questions that you have to ask yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think the first one is very easy. It's, do I use it or do I not?
Right. It seems very simple, but people like, sometimes I will look at something and be like, well, I don't use it often.
Right.
But I will use it.
Right. And then you don't use it for 3.5 years or 3.5 decades. And it's just been sitting in the closet collecting dust when someone could have been using it and loving it.
Mm-hmm. And maybe I could have just used that money in selling it to buy something that I'll actually use.
But I think even if you like really walk into your closet and look at your collection and say, do I not use it, but like why? I think the why is really where you start to find the answer to your question.
Yeah.
Like, is it too seasonal?
Yeah, that's true.
Is it too small?
Yeah.
Is it too big? Mm-hmm. Is it too bright and it doesn't really meet your aesthetic
anymore?
Well,
that's the thing is, does it not fit into your lifestyle? Mm-hmm. Does it not connect
that's a
with
better
your
question.
Lifestyle?
Yes.
You know? Because it's like my lifestyle 10 years ago is not my lifestyle today.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And there are, I'm not going to lie, there are pieces in my clawfis that I have had 10 plus years and they don't necessarily fit my lifestyle. Mm-hmm.
You know what? I think this is a good point to say. There are things that we can keep for sentimental value. I hope we don't sound like cold, hard biatches.
No.
Because we're not. There are some things that I feel like,
I mean, I guess it depends who you talk to.
No, there are some things that I feel like are of sentimental value that you're like, you know what? My great grandma gave me this.
Yes,
maybe I want to pass it down. You know, when you're looking at something like an heirloom, that to me is like separate.
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
It's an heirloom. You love it. It brings you joy. And I think at the end of the day, if it brings you joy, that's great. But if it's not giving you anything, if it's not bringing you joy, if it's not functional or beautiful, bye.
Yeah.
See you later.
Also, I had put a note here, if you literally forgot that you own it.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Like what happened, I had a Prada nylon waist bag that I would wear quite often when my kids first started playing competitive sports.
But then you got something
But then I got something else.
That you loved
that
and
I
you
loved.
Enjoyed.
And literally, I was cleaning out my clawfis, like the closet within my clawfis. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And up in the top corner is that waist bag.
Mm-hmm.
I literally forgot.
You know what the bet? I commend you. Because literally, the next morning, it was in her bag on the way to the office. Let's ride.
Sold it. It was time to sell. I was like, I don't use it. I totally forgot that I even have it.
Yeah.
So it was sold within like 24 hours.
Yeah. I think, you know what? It's funny. We have a note here too. Like if you force yourself to use something, like I'm going to a wedding once or twice a year and like I have this gold Chanel bag and it's like the only one it doesn't really bring me joy. It serves no function. My phone doesn't fit in it. It's not really sculptural or beautiful. But I force myself to use it because it's Chanel
it's Chanel and
gold.
It was expensive.
And it was expensive and it goes with it.
Yeah.
Time to part with it.
Yeah. You shouldn't be forcing yourself to do
anything,
honestly.
Well, it's the only
thing
I have. So. And, you know, it's like, it works, I guess. You know, like, buy. Get something else.
And I think we've all done that.
Yeah.
You know? Did we put all of it? Yeah.
I think, like, I want to touch back on, like, not being conducive to your lifestyle.
Uh-huh, because that's a big one.
Because I think this happens in seasons, and I think it's fine and fair. I'm going to give you an example. Like, 10 years ago, I didn't have kids. Mm-hmm. I didn't need like this big slouchy nylon, throw it in the wash, tote with a zip top and places for my bottles.
Yep.
Today, I need those things. I have small children and I need to be able to throw their stuff into a bag. And, you know, I like having a nylon, like, throw and go piece. It's reliable. I didn't need that 10 years ago. And so I think it's okay when we look at our life. You're not, I'm just not a person that's, like, connected to material things. That doesn't really, like, it doesn't do it for me. Mm-hmm. Unless it's, like, of sentimental value or of functional value.
Right.
So if you're in a season of your life where, like, maybe your kids are grown, get rid of that baby bag, honey. Unless it brings you joy and it's like a sentimental thing. Or it's like
great memories.
Or you want to pass it down to your next child or something like that. If it's doing nothing but collecting dust, wrap it up, get rid of it. Mm-hmm. It's time to move on.
Yeah.
Start fresh. I mean, this aligns with our 2022. It's still January, so we can still talk about New Year's.
Oh, that's true. Still January. Long month, man.
You know.
This is feeling like a long month.
Pack it in. Pack it up and pack it in. You know, and I guess like 10 years ago, I still had a pretty small phone. I probably had a BlackBerry. Maybe that was 15 years ago.
That was like 15 years
okay,
ago.
Okay, fine. I think. So my bags
were.
We're
not this young.
No, I mean, my bags were really small. Yeah. Right? What did I carry to the bar when I was going out with my then fiancé?
Even the first iPhone was small.
Right.
It wasn't a big
thing. I had my little phone.
Yeah.
I had, like, maybe I had some cash to, like, you know, tip the valet or something. I had, like, my debit card and my license. It's all, and, like, maybe a lip gloss if I was feeling funky. You know, feeling frisky. That's it. That's all I carried. These days, even if, for example, I'll give you an example. I talk about my EpiPen all the time.
She really does, but she didn't have that years ago.
I know. There are just some things that as you move in from season to season of your life, and those seasons can be in months, they can be in years, they can be in decades.
Yeah.
You have to consider, do things make sense in your lifestyle right now? Today, the bags that I was carrying 15 years ago, not going to work. If it doesn't have a chain, like I had so many clutches 15 years ago.
You really did.
And I would always put them under my
arm.
You
loved
and like,
the clutches.
How did they all survive? I was like drinking at the club. Like how did I, how did I still hold on to those
and
clutches?
And dancing. It wasn't like you were just drinking. Dancing
no,
too.
No, dancing, so moving, like, grooving. And like how did those even survive my life? I don't know.
Oh God.
But like I could never do it. Like I don't want a clutch. Okay. Yeah. It needs a chain. It needs to go crossbody.
Right.
It needs a wristlet. Mm-hmm. It needs something
to true clutches are coming back. But again, your life, is it conducive to your lifestyle in the present moment?
Then. And the bags were small.
Yes.
Now the iPhones are bigger.
Yeah.
I need my EpiPen, going back to the EpiPen. I need my EpiPen. I need things in my bag. I don't know. What if I don't know, a panty liner. Like I need
God.
I mean, but it's true.
I know
need
it is true.
Things when I go out. Like, I want all of these things. So, you know, bags can come and go in seasons. And I think that's something really to consider when you're looking at your collection and saying, you know what? Do I really need all of this in my life right now?
Is it time? Mm-hmm. Is it time?
Is it time?
So, a big point that I think I would say like 95% of people struggle with is doing the research when you are ready to part with a handbag, doing the proper research and being realistic.
I'm sorry. I have like a lingering COVID cough.
I know. It lingers. It lingers forever. Jeez, drink a sip of your coffee.
Okay. I'm okay.
Being realistic when it comes to what the value of your item really is. You're killing
I'm
me.
I'm good. That was it.
Okay. Whose idea was it to record a podcast after COVID?
Turn it off.
We're back.
And I'm back. Oh my gosh.
Okay, we're back. Whew. It's a real thing. Just saying.
I know. That cough, man.
It lingers.
It lingers. Oof. Okay.
Anyway, back to the regularly scheduled program. Knowing the realistic value of the item that you have is very important because I think if you don't do thorough research, you're bound to be disappointed.
Mm.
And I think that disappointment, then you're going to hold on to the item.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think when you really don't use it, and honestly, you could make some money off of it, maybe not what you assumed it would be.
Yeah.
But the disappointment of it then makes people hold on to their stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, there's a lot of talk right now about investing in handbags and how, like, Chanel keeps going up in price. And I think it's really important to just to really talk about the fact that that's very rare.
Yes.
It's very rare.
It's not the norm across the board.
Yeah.
When it comes to luxury handbags.
Yeah. You have to be really careful. You know, not all Chanel is going to accrue in value.
Right.
Just because it has the CC logo on it.
Yeah.
And I think we all have to be really careful about how we talk about spending money on handbags, because we can't just assume because it's a specific designer or a specific color or a specific style that it's going to accrue in value and that you're going to have equity in that piece right away.
Right.
Or ever, right? Because there are pieces from these big luxury designer brands that you can buy today, and tomorrow, if you try to sell it, it's not going to,
you're not even going to break even.
Right.
You really won't. And that's just the reality
of
items, luxury items being sold on the secondary market.
For sure.
So doing your research, and doing research doesn't mean, you know, just doing a quick Google search.
Yeah.
If you truly don't care, because we do have consigners in our company that they truly don't care. They don't use it. They're not attached to it. They want to just sell it. And if it sells, cool. And then they'll use that money towards the purchase of something else. Mm-hmm. But if you really do care, make sure that you do some in-depth kind of research before you reach out.
But also reach out to the companies that you feel like are doing it right.
Right.
Look at their websites. Look at their websites. Yeah. Look around.
Compare the pricing.
Yeah. See what, maybe you can search your item on Google and kind of see what it's going for. Remember that there, when people are selling their own items, so you have like a marketplace where people can kind of go on and sell their own things. Those marketplace websites are not necessarily realistic prices. They're not necessarily realistic because something is only as valuable as the person who is buying it is willing to pay for it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. 100%.
So with these marketplaces where people can kind of sell their own stuff, sometimes people are just putting aspirational prices on there. Like, I hope I get $10,000 for this.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put it up for that. And if it sells, great. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean that's the value of the item.
The person who purchased that specific item got played to a degree. If you really think
about it.
It could be. Because these platforms where people are able to list their own items, they're able to list their own items at the prices that they think they want, not at the true current market value.
Absolutely.
Of the specific items.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's also important to communicate. And listen, if it's your first time consigning something or it's your 10th time, I think it's important to talk to the people that you're working with, the people that are selling your stuff, and say, hey, you know, what makes sense? What's fair market value? Walk me through the process. If you are working with someone or a company or a small business that is reputable, they're going to be open to talking to you about the process and how it works. And you want to trust the companies that you're working with.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's to the next point, is do your research and know your options when it comes to companies who can help you and or platforms where you can sell your own items. And just do the pros and cons of those specific options. So if you were to want to use a platform where you're selling the items yourself, that's your time and your effort and your energy and making sure that you're keeping track of those items.
And working with the people. Like, there's a lot that goes into selling your own stuff.
Yeah.
Like the photos, the description.
Photos are a big deal.
The answering questions.
Especially in luxury resale.
Yeah, the answering questions. That's all part of the sale process. So if you're not willing to do that, some people are, some people aren't.
Yeah.
Definitely just consider that, because there are companies that you can ship your items to. Like, I mean, at season two, that's what we do. We even send a label.
Yeah.
And we make it really, really easy. You don't have to do any of the work. We find fair market value. We get you estimates. We send you a shipping label. We do all those things. Mm-hmm. It's an all-inclusive process.
We photograph. We have detailed descriptions. We answer all the questions. We do the marketing.
Yeah. And a lot of companies do that.
A lot of companies do that. Yeah. But so I think a big thing is to the point of they're connected, right? The point of knowing what the current resale value would realistically be mm-hmm. on that item so that you're not disappointed right off the bat mm-hmm. when a company sends you a true estimate.
Yeah.
What are the percentages? Because companies are putting out all of the effort to get your item sold. It takes time and resources.
Honey, I've so been they are going 8 a.m.
I know. I know it. So they are going to take their percentage, rightfully so.
Yeah.
So you do have to just look into what is the percentage structure,
right? The with commission these companies. Structure,
yeah.
With companies, and what does that include?
Yes. Right? Like what's included?
What does the service of them, you know, taking a 20% commission or taking a 30% commission or 40% commission? What does that mean for you,
mm-hmm.
right? Do you have to go to USPS and do the shipping yourself mm-hmm. and take the risk on that, like? What's included in that commission,
yeah.
I think is a really good question to ask.
Yeah, weighing the pros and cons of using individual platforms, using companies, using bigger box companies, using small business companies. There are so many options mm-hmm. right now. And it's really important to do your due diligence in making sure you have all the information that's right for you.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is the reach. The company's reach,
yeah.
the platform's reach, I think mm-hmm. is important.
Yeah. And that doesn't necessarily just mean numbers, right? Like
no.
number of followers
no,
or
no,
number.
No.
It's also the quality of their customer.
Yeah.
Right? Because if they have a high customer quality.
Yeah.
Which means their customers like to shop or, you know, they sell things really quickly. That's something to consider.
Yeah. For sure.
Because, listen, if you're ready to part with something, you want to move it quickly.
Yeah. Of course.
Unless you want aspirational pricing and like, oh, if I get this amount, then I'll
be
happy with it. But like, you know, that's kind of, then maybe you should hang on to it until you're ready to part with it.
Yeah.
Just because aspirational pricing doesn't sell handbags.
No. Trustworthy. The companies need to be trustworthy. The platforms need to be trustworthy.
Right.
For both customers and consigners or sellers alike.
Yeah, that goes back
to trust is huge.
Communicating your expectations, mm-hmm. your expectations of the company, of your experience, and asking as many questions as possible.
Absolutely. How is your item taken care of?
Mm.
I think that's a big thing for me. For me personally, I want to make sure that my things are going to be taken care of if I'm sending them out to someone. You know what I'm saying? Or some to a place.
Mm-hmm.
How are they taken care of and presented once it's sold? You should care about that. It's your item that is being sold. You know,
mm-hmm.
you should care about how it's presented to the next, the rehome situation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So I think that's important. How is it stored? Making mm-hmm. sure that it's kept away from light. Natural light will damage handbags.
Yeah.
Making sure that it's protected securely. There's cameras. There's locks. I mean, all of these things that you really wouldn't think of.
Right, but just things to consider, right?
Yeah.
Is it behind a locked door every night? Is there
yeah.
a security system? If
yeah.
someone breaks into that location. God forbid, you know, knock on wood. But all of these things are possible.
Yes, and something to take into account.
Yeah.
The length of time, making sure that you're looking at terms. What are the terms?
Yeah.
What are the agreements that you're going to have with a company, let's say? Does the company have 3 months to sell your item?
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens at the end of the 3 months?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. You have to look at the fine print.
Yes.
And listen,
read
when
thoroughly.
When you're selling these handbags, like that you have worked hard for, you've spent your hard-earned money on them, you've spent some time of your life with them by your side. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I know that's very like I'm romanticizing the process, but it's true. When you've worked really hard for this stuff, it's important that when you're letting it go and you're sending it out into the abyss,
mm-hmm.
right? You're sending
yeah.
it out with a carrier, that you know what to expect and you have clear expectations. And the fine print is going to tell you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
about that process.
And you know what? Just something that comes to mind. For us in our company, we want to make sure that our customers our clients, and when I say clients, I mean customers and consignors alike. Mm-hmm. When our clients are experiencing any interaction with us, that they're happy at the end. Mm-hmm. However, in this new age, in this new world, gone are the days of the customer is always right. Mm. And you know if what? The customer makes assumptions, assumptions just lead to complete disappointment.
Well, you know what they say about assuming.
Yes, I know. But I tried to make it sound a little nicer.
But that's actually, it's funny because I want to touch back assume. On fine. You can't. I want to touch back on fine print. Like, there actually shouldn't be any. Right? Like,
everything should be transparent.
Everything should be transparent.
But you need to read it. That's the thing, I think. You need to actually read all of the details in the terms and the emails and any communication because if you are to assume anything, and again, this is just in life, you're bound to be disappointed.
Oh, I know. That's my, I have that issue.
You know, and if you're disappointed, the company's disappointed and nobody's happy.
Yeah. You know what? I just read an article yesterday. True Religion or something? They put out, don't quote me on that, but I believe it was that, or maybe it was like Levi's. Mm-hmm. They put out a, I don't know. What is it called? Like, you know, like a press release.
Jeez.
Where like, and it was exactly to that point, like the customer's not always right anymore because in the age of COVID now, like a lot of their staff within like their retail stores have been getting like berated by customers that don't want to wear masks or, you know, however you feel about masks. Whatever you feel,
it's up to you, but yes.
But they are getting, like they have said, like their retail staff, like no one has to accept abuse. No one has to accept harassment.
Yeah.
And I think that's like, totally fair. And yeah. I think that's the way of the future. Like, listen, everybody respects each other.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say there should be respect, mutual respect in any transaction, most especially when it has to do with a luxury piece. Mm-hmm. For example, if there is someone who has this exceptional Chanel piece and I mean, it's amazing. It's brand new. It's full set, comes with everything. But they have an unrealistic price in mind. And unrealistic expectations because they didn't necessarily read through all of the terms and conditions of consigning, let's say, with our company. Mm-hmm. Then if there's any assumptions that are happening, then there's bound to be friction.
Right.
And that's not something that either party wants.
Of course not. And the truth is that, knock on wood, because we don't have fine print and because
our emails are very bold and underlined,
lengthy, and we are very clear about the things that we think that people need to know.
Yeah.
Thank the heavens that we have not had issues with people who, you know, are upset with our service or things like that. We really, like, thank God that has not really happened. But, you know, that does happen when you're dealing with, like, huge corporations or even, like, companies that maybe have not had the same, like, experience or whatever. Yeah. It's just really important that you, as a consumer, do your research and ask the questions. If someone's not willing to answer your questions.
Run. Big red flag.
Big red flag. Or if there's a fine print the size of Texas, big red flag.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, so yes, I agree with all the points. Also, just because I know we do have a lot of resellers in our audience that listen as a resource to this podcast, keep that in mind because assuming even as the company or even as the reseller that the person on the other end of the transaction knows and understands, you're going to be disappointed. It's going to be a problem. Mm. Never assume either way. Have everything be very transparent.
So clear.
I mean, what
clarity is peace. That's how I feel.
Quote of the day.
Clarity is peace.
Quote of the day.
Honey.
Let's write that on the whiteboard later.
You know what? I like that.
I like it a lot. Mm-hmm. Last point. What if the item doesn't sell?
Okay. So listen, if I send my stuff to a consignment company and it's sitting around for 90 days and it doesn't sell, I feel as a consumer or a customer or a consignor that maybe they priced it wrong or maybe they're not marketing it correctly. So that's a discussion to have at that point is unless you're unwilling to do a price adjustment, and that's okay too.
Yeah.
Right? But it's probably time to reach out and say, hey, what can we do about getting this thing sold? Otherwise, I'd like it back to try somewhere else.
Yes. Well, that's the thing, right? Price adjustment is always the first thing that comes into my head. Mm-hmm. Is maybe when the initial estimate was sent, the current value was that price. Oof. But in 90 days, the prices, I mean, God, the ebb and flow of the pricing is nuts, man.
It really is. Because the truth is that, I'm going to give you an example, John Galliano. you know, he, listen, it's true. He got drunk and he went on some anti-Semitic rant, and the value of his stuff tanked in that split second that video hit the internet.
And you just never know. There are so many factors that go into things. Even like Dolce & Gabbana too.
No, we talked about Alexander Wang on the last podcast, and how, you know, all of these allegations of models and sexual harassment came out, and from one day to the next,
the price,
nobody wanted Alexander Wang anymore, and the price tanked. It was no longer valuable.
That's what happens. And so maybe like taking a second look after, or when you're coming close to that term, the end of the term, let's say, in the agreement, okay, maybe there needs to be a price adjustment.
Because, or what happened, like even just saying like, hey, what's the deal? What happened here?
Yeah.
And like, and discussing that.
Mm-hmm. Because there is a lot that goes into it. There's a lot. You really wouldn't think. I mean, listen, we love what we do. We have dream jobs. We get to play with luxury handbags all day. In the grand scheme of things, it's amazing. But there is a lot that goes in to current market value when it comes to every single piece that comes through our showroom. Absolutely. You know? So keep that in mind as the consumer. That current market value fluctuates, and it from the first day when it's received and marketed to 3 months down the line, the price could have decreased significantly.
It's true could because something, maybe it doesn't even have to do with, you know, someone doing something crazy on the internet. Sometimes it's just
demand.
Product came out with a better re-edition.
There you go.
Prada,
and then nobody wants the first re-edition.
Cool, whatever.
Everyone wants the other one.
Exactly.
You know. Another thing, too, is maybe if the price adjustment and the communication, maybe it was just not there for you. For example, let's say that you tried to sell something with like a bigger box company. Maybe it didn't work out. Look at other options. Mm-hmm. You know, look at other options. Maybe consigning with a smaller business didn't work out. Try a bigger box company.
Yep.
You just never know. And then other methods. Other platforms. Maybe you are the type of person that is a control person like me. I like to have control of my situations.
You're not a control freak, Monica. Not you.
Shut the front door. So, you know, for me, it's like I would hesitate giving my things to someone else if I didn't fully believe and trust in them.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it would be, that would be a case if you are similar where, okay, you tried it.
You try a
it
marketplace.
Didn't sell. You try a marketplace. Try another platform where maybe you have the control of the situation.
Absolutely. You can answer questions and take pictures and do all the things.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's worth it.
Yeah.
Right? It just depends on how you say it. You know what? I think this was a good one. This is a good resource for consignment.
I would hope so. If you're, whether you're a consigner or you're a seller, I hope that this has been a little valuable in some way.
Yeah, I hope that it helps you to look at your collection with a really fresh eye.
Yeah.
And make good choices about what makes sense in your closet.
And don't forget, if you're looking for a great company, we know one.
Happy Friday!
Guys, if you're not already following us, we are at season2consign on all platforms, including TikTok and Instagram. We drop knowledge and have fun on all of them.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, please consider rating it and sharing it with your friends. We have so much more to share with you. Thank you for being here, and don't forget to be fearlessly authentic.